Now, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you. You know, and so we'll talk about that in a minute. But I wanted to look at Psalm 42. And it says, as the hart, or as the deer, panteth for the water brooks, as he, so my soul pants after you, O God. I almost want to put Selah there, you know. Yeah, what, anybody know what Selah is? Remember what that is? Pause and meditate on that. Pause and think about it. But it doesn't say it, but I would say it. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat all day and night. While they continually, people continually say to me, hey, where's your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy days. And then all of a sudden you begin talking to your soul, because your soul is messed up. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and your billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Boy, can you see the confusion that ends up coming into your mind, and you're just broken up by the affairs of this life. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul, and your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is born from above. You have a direct line and relationship with the living God, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But then, you've got the part of you that wakes up in the bed in the morning. You've got the part of you that wakes up and says, oh, I got to go here, or I got to go there, or this thing is coming up. There are things that come up daily. But God says, hope thou in God. Amen? So you're telling yourself. Psalm 103 does the same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within. So you're talking to your soul, right? All that is within me, bless his holy name. So you're making a commandment to your soul. You're making a commandment to your mind, your will, your thoughts, your disillusionments. And you're saying, listen up, people. Gather around. Everybody, you know, front and center. Everybody get here on the front pew. I want to speak to you today. Is you're going to speak to all your emotions, all your distresses, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, everything is going your way. Everything is going your way. Well, it doesn't look like, you know, you got, you know, little kids, you know, like little kids just complaining about, well, this or that, or they're punching each other down there, you know, out there on the front row. Your anger is punching fear, you know. You got all these emotions that are just stirring up trouble. But you speak to them and you say no, because in the name of Jesus, everything is going your way. Jesus Christ has won the day again. Well, it's just 7 o'clock in the morning. No, he's already won the day. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to speak to yourself every day like that. That's terrible. Sorry, it's like brushing your teeth. I got this electric toothbrush, and they told me I had to do this electric toothbrush because it's supposed to keep your teeth from falling out. And but it, I mean, I like the one we used to use, you know. You know, you know, do it about 3 seconds and you're done. You know, get your mouth full of toothpaste and spit, you're done. No, but this thing takes like 2.5 minutes. That's 2.5 minutes. Can you imagine that? And you got to do this quadrant and that quadrant. It's almost like prayer. You got to slow down and, you know, stand and sit, be in the presence of God. You know, he says, wait. You know, you come in to pray and you're in, you're out. And God's like, what? Whoa, you just got here. He says, no, come in, sit down. No, I don't have time to sit down. I got to get ready. No, this is getting ready. This is getting ready. You got to brush those teeth. Then you put the little proxy brush with all the stuff in between. And then you get the floss out. Is that the good stuff? They get the floss out. I mean, you know. Because every day you live in a world that just messes up your mouth. And God is working on you every single day. And he says, no, spend time with me. Spend time with me. Like Monty was talking about earlier. Spend time with the Lord. Yeah, everybody was talking about that today, right? In fact, they kind of talk about that every week. So, now Danny's chiming in, you know. And so, but praise God, this is what people need, right? This is the church that people need. They don't need a band and all of these things happening. But what they need is an opportunity to come together and love one another, listen to one another, share their hearts about what the Holy Spirit's doing. So yeah, that is, you know, something you want to, you know, invite people to. You know, try this one out. It's not quite what you used to, but I think you might like it. Amen? It's good. Hallelujah. Well, let's look over. I got too many scriptures. I'm going to turn too many pages, so I wrote them all down for myself. Amen. Because Thanksgiving, you're teaching yourself, first of all, to give thanks. Just like you're teaching yourself to spend time taking care of your physical body, which we do. We take care of our physical body so that it doesn't fall apart. So that our wife still has a husband. So that our husband still has a wife. So that our kids still have parents. You know, you don't just destroy your body. You know, you don't destroy yourself. You, in fact, take care of yourself. It's like that lady on the airplane, you know, when you're putting on your mask, you put your own on first, then you can help others. You just make sure that your spiritual health, I'm not just talking about physical health, but your spiritual health is in good shape, because that way you can, even though you raised your kids kind of halfway, maybe, but now they see that you've gone crazy and you became a crazy Christian person in your latter days. But your grandkids get to see it. Amen. That's the grandma they get to know. That's the grandpa they get to know, is the crazy one. Is the one who just loves Jesus. Well, let's pray about that. And the one who's reading the word. You know, that's the one you want to be at, and you're, you know, starting right now, wherever you are. You know, if you're mid-age, if you're older age, or if you're, you know, you start today. Start today. Amen. But giving thanks, teaching your children how to give thanks, not just to come in and just, you know, come in and grab something and go, but to teach them to stop. That's what we teach our kids, right? To stop and express gratitude for something that was given to them. You know, you want to do that. You want to teach your children to express gratitude for what, and most of us have done that. But you slow them down, too, because sometimes they forget. Thanks, God, you know. Yeah, grab it and go. But no, wait, whoa. You know, let's slow down and give thanks. And there's so much in the Scripture about giving of thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is the one we hear of most often, because it expresses what the will of God is for you. In everything, give thanks. For For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. You know, and we tend to not do that. You know, we tend to do more complaining. We don't bring God into it. We don't say, "Hey, God, what'd you do?" But we just tend to complain and not give thanks. Amen. Do you notice that in your mind, in your flesh? Your flesh tends to grumble. You know, and I want to not grumble, but I do that. You know, especially when people driving by, you know, people driving on the cars, you know, driving by, and I'll be irritated at somebody who's desiring to get around me. If Pastor Jim is behind me, right? You know, he's the guy who wants to get around you. And I'm the guy who's in front of him going, "Hey, hey, 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 just calm down back there. I'm going 80 right now." And he's going 90, and he's trying to get around me, you know. So you got both guys, and he's behind me going, you know, he's all huffing and puffing and trying to get around me. So it's funny that God put me and Jim together, you know. So it's humorous. So, but that's the thing, is you'll either be mad at the guy who's trying to get around you, or you'll be mad at the guy who's slowing you down. You can be mad about anything. Anybody know that? You can get mad at your wife about something. You can get mad at your children about something, your grandchildren. You can get mad about the neighbor or somebody. You know, but what happens is your emotions rule you. Your emotions begin to rule you rather than the Word of God and the love of God. So he says here, in everything, give thanks. So that slows down your emotional responses, doesn't it? In everything, give thanks, because God is good. Not because he's shaking his finger at you, telling you you need to be giving thanks. I mean, that's immaturity. That's immaturity. Maturity is, amen. God is good. He loves me. And I love that person behind me trying to get around me. I love that guy in front of me who's slowing me down. I love those guys there on the line who put the wrong thing in the thing on the wrong order. And then we had to take it all apart. And, I hear some stories. You know, or whatever it might be. You have all kinds of things that people do that mess up. But the thing is, you mess up too, don't you? I know I do. Janet tells me all the time how I mess up. Amen. Where's Janet? Oh, yeah, she's with the kids in the back. There you go. She's probably listening to this message. Amen. If you want to tell people that's on Facebook, well, she's listening to it while she's taking care of some of the kids back there. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." So what happens to, when you're giving thanks, what happens? God is glorified. When you're giving thanks, God is glorified. Amen. We have all kinds of, things that people would say about the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, that wasn't really the way it happened. And, you know, the Indians really didn't help them, or they weren't doing this or that, or they were abusive, you know. But the whole sense of the idea is giving thanks for people who had helped you and inviting them along, right? For people who had helped you to make it through a terrible time. You know, that was the premise of. Whether that's exactly what happened or not, that was the message of the Thanksgiving holiday, and that's the message really that we carry through today. And it's a good message. Give thanks with those who have come alongside you, come along with you, all right? And what that does is brings glory to God. Amen? That brings glory to God. Your thanksgiving brings glory to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful," or "be anxious for nothing, but in everything," say everything, "by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's interesting that it's prayer and supplication. Well, that's like asking. And again, at the end it says, let your requests be made known. But just put in what? You sprinkle it with thanksgiving. You season your prayer with thanksgiving. Amen? Lord, I want this. I believe we're believing God for this. We're believing for healing over here. We're believing for the elections to turn out the way we want them. But thanksgiving. Okay, I'm just mentioning that. And just mentioning thanksgiving, bringing it into your prayer. It's almost like a seasoning, isn't it? Thanksgiving kind of slows you down. It kind of brings in a new part to the flavor of your prayer. Is you're thanking Him at all times. You're spending time thanking the Lord. You know, if somebody comes to you, and they're, my mother-in-law does this. I mean, she is very grateful. Yeah, she's a very grateful person. And Susie, you know, stays with her a lot. And I mean, just as much as she doesn't remember one thing or another, and she's having to repeat things over and over and over and over and over. But she is, and as frustrated even as she gets, because she knows things are just not the way they were. But she, when somebody comes in, and somebody, you know, does something for her, she is thankful and expresses that. So that's powerful. It's powerful. I want to do that. I want to be thankful. Thank you so much. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, as you therefore have received Christ, the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now look at that. So, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and so as you have received Him, walk in Him. So if you received Him, how did you receive Him? By faith, right? You received Jesus by faith. So walk in Him just the same way. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, as you also have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. So there's an abundance of thanksgiving that comes along with the reception of Jesus as, you know, as your Lord and your Savior. Gratitude and gratefulness. Oh, Lord God, thank you that you've forgiven my sins. It's not thank you that you forgave them back then there and now I'm moving forward, and we kind of can forget about that. No, every single day. Lord, we thank you. I'm thanking you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Bring to me the remembrance of your salvation. It's like the communion that we take. Because He gave us the bread and the wine, the bread and the grape juice, whatever you drink. And He gave them as a remembrance. He gave them for you to remember Him. To remember the sacrifice. It's the simplest of meals. You eat, you might as well just, anytime you pick up something to eat and something to drink, that's the thanksgiving. That's where He wants you to remember Him and to be grateful and thankful. And see, what this is doing is changing your mind, right? It changes your mind from an attitude of entitlement to an attitude of, you know, you hate to say it, an attitude of gratitude. So He's changing your mind. Your mind, as you worship Him, as you give thanks to Him, is you are being changed from one degree of glory to the next. Amen? It's like over in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding Him, we are changed from glory to glory. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Man, thanksgiving, it's sprinkled on everything, isn't it? Thanksgiving. Praise you, Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, for every creature of God. Now, this is interesting here. I'll read 4:3 and 4:4. forbidding to marry. These are the things that some folks were even believing back then. Of course, you know, you have the celibacy that comes mandated with Catholic clergy. But he says forbidding to marry was you know, not something you would do. You would not. Some people were saying you should forbid people from marrying, and just to be holier. No, God doesn't say that. So forbidding to marry, commanding people to abstain from meats, which of course there were dietary restrictions in the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. This is Paul, a Jew who is giving these commandments, and he says to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Next verse is, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Wow! Thanksgiving even cleanses what was previously forbidden. Thanksgiving cleanses it and says it's, you know, in fact, the meats that were eaten before the law was the thing that you know, made dietary restrictions, because it was given as a means to educate what was clean and unclean. But the meats themselves or the animals themselves, and of course, you know, maybe you could get RFK Jr. and decide whether or not, you know, what's healthy and what's not healthy, or in various other ways. Some people don't eat pork for their own dietary reasons because they see, and you know. But then you have people who have been eating pork for years. Over in Africa, they eat lots of pork. It's a lot easier to deal with than cows. But he says here to eat. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is a powerful portion of your lifestyle. All right, praise the Lord. I've got a lot more, but I'm just skipping over some of them. Ephesians 5:4, talking about how to not live in your natural life, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So all of these things that could come out of your mouth, all of these things that could be a part of your daily social life, he's saying not filthiness, not foolish talking, not jesting or uncolorful jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Wow, that's a lot. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a lot. Praise the Lord. Well, brother, this is just a lot of scriptures on thanksgiving. Yes, there is. Funny you should say that. That there are, because as Paul is talking about how to grow in the Lord and how to walk in the Lord in your daily existence, that's what these epistles are all about. The epistles are to the churches of how to walk. It's not about salvation, because he talks about salvation in that salvation is through faith alone. But the result of salvation is walking in purity and walking in holiness, because as we talked about this morning, as you're spending time in the presence of God and being changed by Him by your relationship and your conversation with Him in prayer, that your outward activities begin to change. People, you know, have been taught for years, you know, about sin from the pulpit to the pew. Don't, you know, okay, stop that sinning, you know. And of course people muscle up and they're going to stop sinning. Well, they can't, because they're not being taught to be close to Jesus. They're taught that you can't get to Jesus until you clean up. That's a lie. C- Come to Jesus as you are. Come to Jesus in your mess. Give thanks that He has transformed and changed you. And He's changing you even today, even now, even when you're still addicted, even when you're still doing the things that are filthy and shouldn't be done. God is changing you as you enter His presence and begin to come into His presence with what? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So He has made you ready to receive. You don't have to do anything else. He's already made you prepared to receive everything that He has for you because of faith. Because of you've stepped into the presence of God. You've said, Jesus Christ, forgive my sins and redeem me from all unrighteousness. Even the ones I'm thinking about that I did today. Well, gosh, don't I have to run around the block 3 times? Don't I have to do something special? No, don't. Come right in. Come right into His presence the way you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's like we talked about the chairs. The Pastor Jim would talk about the chairs. You come in, chair 4, you come in by faith. Chair 5, God begins to work on you. Saw on you, work on you, and through trials and difficulties. And what happens in that chair 5? It's thanksgiving. Chair 5 is rejoicing and thanksgiving in the middle of trouble. Amen? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he's talking about the thorn, I besought the Lord 3 times to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. And God said to him, nah, just buck up. Just kind of suffer through it. No, God didn't say that. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then Paul immediately says, I will therefore rejoice in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to rejoice in these troubles. Oh, that sounds terrible. I'm going to rejoice in these troubles in the middle of them so that the power of Christ may rest on me. His power rests on me. Amen? So giving thanks, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father which has made us prepared us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're giving thanks because he's prepared us to be partakers. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever you do, giving thanks in each thing. Giving thanks in each thing. Colossians 3:17. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, you know this one, because we talk about it when we're praying, right? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men? What about the ones we want to get rid of? Now, because you're not praying for them to stay in office, perhaps, for kings and those in authority, but you are praying for them to be born again. You're praying for everybody, everywhere, praying for all men, everywhere. Number one, to be born again, for it's the will of God that all be saved and all come to the knowledge of the truth. So you're doing that, so you're giving thanks for all men. And you're praying for them, lifting them up. Those who are in, again, for kings, for those in authority. Whoever's in that office, Pray for them. Pray for them by name. Pray for them with joy.
Tell your joy to get to the front of the line. You know, sometimes your joy is at the... You ever notice your joy is sometimes at the back of the line? You know.
But you want to pray for all men. You want to continue to, so that they may know the Lord Jesus.
Did you know your prayers are effectual? Do you know your prayers are effective?
The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. That is, it does a lot. It's a powerful prayer. Your prayer, say my prayer, can't hear you. My prayer is a powerful prayer because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of faith. Amen. There you are. So you want to say that over yourself. You want to say that about yourself. You want to say that your prayer is an effectual prayer. You know, well, I get the pastor. Oh, well, I get Sister So-and-so. You know, because she's a mighty, mighty prayer. Well, she might be. But you know what? You are too. Because the same Holy Ghost that's on the inside of hers is on the inside of you. Same. Same Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. Just let Him out. Maybe your little place to let the Holy Spirit out hasn't been properly cleaned out. You know? Is you want the Holy Spirit to be able to come out of you, right? So I will challenge you that your thanksgiving needs to be improved. Is let your thanksgiving come out and let the Holy Spirit begin to cause you to see your prayer become more effectual as thanksgiving comes forth out of your mouth. Lord God, thank you for that person. Yeah, it was tough. Thank God for that person, Lord God. Thank God for them. Thank God they must have done something. There was something good that you had them do while they were there. You know, I mean, I pray for Joe Biden. He loves his kids. Well, praise God for a man who loves his kids. Amen. You know, loves his grandkids. Praise the Lord. You know, Father, lead him to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you begin to love the person. You know what? You can begin to love a person by praying for them and giving thanks for them. Because God put them in your heart. You know, Jesus loved people. Jesus loved kids. Jesus loved the Pharisees. No, he didn't. I read the Bible. He didn't love those Pharisees. He hated those Pharisees. No, it's not true. No, Jesus actually loved the Pharisees. Don't you? Amen. You love Pharisees, right? Sure you do. Amen. Because God loves them. And he wants to bring them into his kingdom. No, I don't want those Pharisees in my kingdom. No, you do. You need those Pharisees because they're as much a Pharisee as you are. You're a mess. Praise the Lord. I'm a mess. Amen. But God loves them. And God's going to use me to pray for them. Jesus loved every single person. And therefore, because the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus... loving every person, that same Holy Spirit, you got the whole thing. You got the whole Holy Spirit that Jesus had. You know what that means? Is you love everybody Jesus loved. Well, wait a minute. No, it's true. You know, your mind, will, and your emotions are what tend to let you figure out who you like and who you don't, who you're letting in and who you're keeping out. But God said he wants you to let his light shine through you. You are the salt and the light. You are salt. He didn't say, be it. He said, come on. You know, be salt and light. No, he said, over the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are. Because he was speaking by faith. He was speaking to those people who were going to come to know the knowledge of the truth, come to follow Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's what you are. Amen. I'm the salt of the earth. Glory to God. I mean, you may be out somewhere and all of a sudden God is reminding you, you're the salt of the earth. And you have a joy on the inside of you. You know, evangelism is not an obligation. Evangelism is a joy. It's because, I mean, if you told somebody else about something you thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread, I mean, you'd tell them.
Hey, have you heard about blah? Have you heard about this and that? You know, you tell them. But now granted, some of us are less even jovial about, you know, hey, have you heard about the Rangers? Or whatever. You know, but God is going to use you. Amen? God used me. God used me to be, you know, to bring me new friends. Maybe you're not good with strangers. God, bring me new friends who I can share Jesus with. Just connect me with new people that I can share Jesus with. God's got all kinds of jobs. Amen? He's got all kinds of jobs, all kinds of connections, all kinds of ways that you can do that, all kinds of groups that you'll be connected with. Well, I don't need another group. Well, God, connect me with somebody in my group. Show me in my group, Lord God, the person who is coming your way. Amen? Thanksgiving. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay, we said first of all, prayer and supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice of praise. That is, what is the sacrifice of praise? The fruit of our lips giving thanks. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name is what Thanksgiving is all about. Amen? Now, Thanksgiving, again, as I said, it paves the way. It paves the way for us to be able to walk in the presence of other people. Thanksgiving paves us the way for us to walk into the presence of God, because He is desiring to build in us a relationship. And if we're constantly grumbling about what, you know, what hasn't been done, or we don't perceive that God has done, because we have some idea that God is somebody who is, you know, out to just meet my needs. No, God is, He was out to meet my need. He's out to change me, to transform me into His image. Amen? And I need to know that God is doing what He desires in and through me, so that the world will be saved, and so I will be a vessel fit for His use. So I'm giving thanks. Over in In the early part of our existence as a nation, there were thank days. In fact, a day of Thanksgiving was first mentioned by George Washington back in August of 1789. The possibility of a national day of Thanksgiving, in a confidential letter to James Madison from George Washington, just a few months after he took office. And George Washington, that is, asking for his advice on approaching the Senate for their opinion on a day of Thanksgiving. That's interesting. So the president was going to go to the Senate. This is very early on in the way the government was just figuring out how they worked together. The branches were kind of, okay, now what do we do here and what do we do here? The president, the executive branch, the Senate, the legislative branch. Can we touch that? Can we do it this way? How do we operate together? So he approached the Senate. George Washington approached the Senate about having a day of Thanksgiving. And by the end of September 1789, a resolution had been introduced to the House of Representatives, bring those guys in, requesting a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public Thanksgiving. This is in 1789. This is before the day of Thanksgiving Thanksgiving Day was ever set in as a law or a legal holiday. The committee put out the resolution before the president, and George Washington issued the first national Thanksgiving proclamation within days. George Washington knew the value of a Thanksgiving Day long before becoming our first president. During the Revolution, he would order special Thanksgiving services for his troops after successful battles, as well as publicly endorse efforts by the Continental Congress to proclaim days of thanks, usually in recognition of military victories and alliances. And even in the 18th century, set back in the 1700s, the concept of Thanksgiving was not new to the citizens of the United States. Colonists often established thank days to mark certain occasions. These one-time events could occur at any time of the year, and emphasizing prayer and spiritual reflection were usually more solemn than the Thanksgiving we observe today. Thanksgiving was not made a legal holiday until 1941, when Congress named the fourth Thursday in November as our National Day of Thanks. 1941, how about that, huh? It's from the turkey lobby, no doubt, trying to sell more turkeys. So that's when Congress named the fourth Thursday in November as our National Day of Thanks in answer to a public outcry over President Roosevelt's attempt to prolong the Christmas shopping season by moving Thanksgiving from the traditional last Thursday to the third Thursday of November. So everybody wanted to leave it alone, you know. So, trying to help the Christmas lobby. All right. I'm going to read to you the So on October 3rd, 1789, George Washington issued his Thanksgiving Proclamation, designated for the people of the United States a public Thanksgiving to be held on Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, marking the first national celebration of a holiday that has become commonplace in today's American households. While subsequent presidents failed to maintain this tradition, it was Washington's original proclamation that guided Abraham Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation. In fact, Lincoln issued his proclamation on the same day, October 3rd, and marked the same day, Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26th, as Washington, setting Thanksgiving as the last Thursday of November after our first president's example. The proclamation was printed in newspapers, including the October 9th, 1789 issue of the Pennsylvania Packet and Daily Advertiser. So let me, in closing today, let me read you the, and I realize Thanksgiving is a week from, not this week, so I'm going to be in Dallas next week, so I'm doing this. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. Previous to their becoming a nation, and for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty
with which we were blessed, we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among us and them, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Wow, praise the Lord. That's your first president. Giving thanks to God as a first proclamation of thanksgiving. And now, the Lord is continually commanding us to give thanks, to worship him, to praise him. And so many times, it's, you know, as we repeat our Reformation remembrances, it's incumbent upon us as believers to remember those things which God has provided to us for the remembrance of his good mercies toward us. For instance, as we do with the communion, because Jesus said that, why would we do that? Why would we eat the bread and the wine? To what? Remember. To remember me. So God is good. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, for 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, says this. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Amen. Lord God, we thank you. Well, there we go. For your word. That you set on the inside of us a motivation to be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for the time that even as this proclamation has made known by George Washington, and of course they did not have the annual day until 1941, but we thank God today that we do. Some people remember it football and turkey. But Father, we thank you for you reminding us through your word to remember giving of thanks to you and maintaining thanksgiving in our hearts and minds so that we might hear your voice clearly, knowing that you have provided for us all things which pertain unto life and godliness. So we ask you today to cause thanksgiving to become a daily practice in us. Though we may have it in a measure today, Lord, let us be thankful in all things. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Could I have a couple of guys help me with the offering today? Father, we thank you that as we give, we thank you, Lord God, that our provision comes. We thank you that our giving is a blessing so that we might fulfill the will of God, fulfill the kingdom of God, meet needs. And Lord God, we thank you that as we give, we receive. All things, you said, let every man such as he purposes in his own heart, so let him give, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Father, today as we give, we thank you for your great provision for us and for all the needs that are in place today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God sent his son.